Hello, everyone. This is Sienna Gold, and the show is called Down to Earth. How are you? I'm joined here by two of my favorite people on the planet, Pam and Rebecca. Pam Davis, Rebecca White. Hi, guys.
Hi.
Hi. It's good to see you. It's good to have you both here. Let me start off by saying, reading something here, that the views expressed on the show are those of the speakers only, and are not necessarily those of KVMR, our board, staff, volunteers, or contributors. So Christmas is coming, right?
When is
Christmas?
Next week.
It's next week.
Next Wednesday.
Wow.
Yeah.
So this is our last show before Christmas.
Yep.
Well, our last show before the new year. Yeah, so we'll have had Christmas and New Year by the time we get back here. Have a nice holiday, everybody. So that is a good time to talk about what we are going to talk about today.
Mm-hmm. Actually, it is.
I know, right?
Like
New Year's coming up and looking at yourself a little differently, maybe. We're going to talk about how much potential do you think you have? Do you know what you're capable of? And I have a feeling that most of us have no clue. I know that that's true of myself for sure, that you don't really know, not only don't you know who you are, but you don't know what you're capable of, what it is that you can do in your life. One of the things that is a glaring part of that is that people don't trust their gut, which I would call your intuition, your intuitive ability, which of course is played down. We've talked about that before. What do you guys think about it? Anybody have any comments?
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
I think that most of us don't understand. I'm just beginning to tap just the very surface of the potential that I have and, you know, things that I can do in my world and the world around me. I think a lot of us don't, because there's so much, like, mental content, a lot of things just coming at us from society, from our past, that kind of just dullen, you know, or even desensitize ourselves to ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, that awakening, you know, is sometimes very much muted, you know, and blocked from a lot of people. It has been for me.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Pam?
I think we're not aware of where we can go and what our potential is. And a lot of what Rebecca said, society has placed us in certain categories, and we think that that's where we need to be and not to venture out. I know when we're talking about how there was a time when I was young that there were only potential for women were only a few things, and you did not cross that border. But now look at the opportunities, but a lot of people do not feel that they can reach those.
You know, as we're talking, I wonder why it's set up that way. Why is it set up for us to downplay ourselves? Why are we kind of programmed to fail or work super, super, super hard to get to a point of achievement or a point of success? I understand working hard. I've worked hard pretty much my whole life, and I am enjoying the fruits of my labor.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it that we have to work that hard? Is that natural to us? Is that part of how life is supposed to go?
We're conditioned to that. I mean, I can remember as a child my parents saying the only way you're going to be successful is you've got to work really hard. No matter what it is you do, it's got to be hard work. I would think it would be better that if you are where you want to be, it shouldn't be all that hard. And you shouldn't be conditioned to think before you got there that it would be hard.
Mm-hmm.
But we are. We're told that. And I think that we can surprise ourselves by realizing that maybe it's just really not that hard.
Yeah. What do you think, Rebecca?
I think there are just many answers to that question, and a lot of different views to take in order to just kind of unpack and understand. I definitely believe what Pam is saying about we're kind of just conditioned now because of how our society is set up and how we are, how we've kind of evolved on Earth, you know, to kind of like to live and survive. I think in, when it comes to just plain old survival, you know, this is just kind of how we've set up ourselves. You know, you work hard, you know, you get the things, the basic needs, your physical needs, your food, you know, your shelter. And then, you know, that's like the crux of what's important, you know, making sure your basic needs. But then there are all the, you know, also other things, you know, but I keep thinking to myself, like, you know, in a spiritual sense, you know, that's kind of just where I am right now. You know, I'm thinking of being in a spiritual sense. I know. But it's we get attached so much to this physical plane, you know, mm-hmm. like the physical plane is what's real. Like that's like in the mind of all of us, you know, of most of us, you know, the physical plane is what is real. So these are the tools, these are the materials that we have to work with in order to achieve, you know, things. But I'm realizing, and a lot of people are realizing, and there's a lot of material out there of other people realizing, and that, you know, it's not just this physical plane that is real, you know, mm-hmm. like if in fact, this physical plane is real. And that's like a whole nother, you
that's
know.
A whole nother that, discussion.
That's a whole nother discussion.
We touched a little bit on that just before the show.
We did. But, you know, I think spiritually speaking, like, you know, our, this, we do trap ourselves, you know.
Well, that was actually where I was going with it, is that we are, I feel, and I know you're going to agree with me, or at least I think so, that we're bound. We're bound to certain ways of looking at life that don't really support who it is that we are. Yeah. That has a lot to do with what it is that I'm teaching people, that there's another way to be in life, which goes along to what it with what it is that you're saying. But, you know, if you think that way, people are not going to obey. Hmm. If you think that way, you're not going to be controllable. And what were you going to say?
No, please.
Yeah,
please.
If you think that way, you're not going to be controllable. So if you explore that a little bit and really kind of step back and take a look at how happy you are in the system, how happy are you just surviving? What does survival mean? Mm. What does that mean to you guys?
Survival to me means to be able to keep your physical body and your mind in a positive place. And otherwise, if you want to survive physically, you've got to have food, you've got to have shelter, you've got to have all these basic things. So those needs need to be met for survival. But there's other, you know, your emotional survival, your mental survival is just as important as your physical survival.
So let me say this. If that is true, and I believe that you're right, if that's true, since that is true, that your emotional survival is just as important as your physical survival, how does your emotional survival cope with what you have to do to survive physically in this world? How does that work? How do you stay happy when you have to fight so hard to keep food on the table? You know, I was talking last time about rental properties here in this town and the exorbitant prices that are, it's just beyond belief. And I talked to a woman, I looked at a place and she says, well, you know, I said, how do you think that people who've been here 10, 15, 20 years, you know, 5 years, who've been here for a while, who've contributed to the community, how do you think they're able to pay those prices with what they can earn in this community? And she said, well, you're right. Most of the people calling are from out of town.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So what happens to the community? What happens to your ability to pay mm-hmm. these crazy rents? And you're already in the system that requires you to often do things that you don't want to do mm-hmm. in order to make money. So where does your physical, your emotional health fit in here? How can you be healthy when you're subjected to such a bombardment of must-dos and things made so difficult for us.
Yeah, that's difficult. When just backtracking just a teeny, when you were talking about safety, I'm sorry, when you're talking about survival,
mm-hmm.
I thought about safety.
Mm-hmm.
And we do things to survive so we can feel safe.
Mm-hmm.
And when it comes to renting or finding a place to live, you know, it's like, I got to find a place to live. You know, you wouldn't be safe.
You want
a place to go where you can be safe,
mm-hmm.
And feel that mental and emotional safety. But it is compromised when you're like trying to work. And I'm talking from personal experience here, you know, just barely making rent.
To pay rent.
Sometimes not even having like to borrow money mm-hmm. from my next paycheck in order to pay rent.
Right.
You know, there is an emotional disruption, you know, and mental disruption. What has been helping me, though, is to, first of all, talk about it and actually tell people about it. And I've actually gotten a lot of help, you know, in that sense. But, you know, we talked a little bit beforehand about trusting, you know, and having some sort of trust that our needs will be taken care of.
Right.
You know, when I know when I'm bound in just like safety in survival mode, it's really hard to trust. I feel like I have to do,
yeah.
you know, in order to, you know, survive.
Mm.
But I'm learning now to just emotionally, you know, to try to tap into like that intuition and like know that I'm going to be taken care of,
mm-hmm.
you know, no matter what. I know it's hard right now, but I'm going to be taken care of. And things kind of just come,
mm-hmm.
you know. And it's hard to just, like, tell people that, you know, because I know people have told me that in the past. I'm like,
yeah, right.
Great. Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and apply for this second job while you go ahead and trust your intuition.
Right. You trust your intuition. Let me know how that works out for you.
You know what I mean?
Right. Exactly. And see, this is also a little bit conflicting for me. Did you have something to say?
Well, I wanted to mention about her whole idea of trust. And because I don't think anyone on this planet is alone. There is a group around every being that have friends, neighbors, family that will be there for them.
Mm-hmm.
I have a story of a friend. This happened back in Seattle years ago when they were having that foreclosure problem. And her house was going into foreclosure, but she didn't tell anybody. And so nobody was there to help her, and she ended up committing suicide because they were going to take her house away. And I know that my husband and I were talking, why didn't she say anything? We would have given her something. Her sisters would. And I think that this is when we say that it's hard for us to trust that there are others out there that could help us. Mm-hmm. When I was driving in, the little community center in North San Juan had a big sign that said, warming station tonight, 5:00. And I was thinking to all the homeless people that are up here in the woods, have a nice warm place to go tonight because they are reaching out. And I think this is where sometimes people don't realize they close themselves in. I have to do this. Mm-hmm. I can't ask for help.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, help is always there.
And I really love that. And I think that that also ties into what it is that I'm talking about with people who are gouging each other for money, for rents. You know, like you were saying, you have to work really hard to make your rent. I'm really on the rent kick because I'm stunned. I'm shocked at what's happening out there.
Yeah.
And people who have multiple rentals, 30 rentals, whatever, who are charging
exorbitant
amounts of money. Because they can, because the word that I got was that it's business. And I said, oh my gosh, okay. But if those people can somehow find a conscience and understand that greed's not going to get you from point A to point B all the time, we would have more people like the one that that Pam's talking about, able to trust and ask for help
right.
from people. When I talk to, it's not that I couldn't afford the rent that was being asked. I was just incensed by it and refused to pay it. And I know that I'm taken care of. And that was one of the that's where I was getting ready to go with it. I really had to take a look at myself because I was so enraged, really, at this landlord's insistence on charging this ridiculously high price. And I, again, refused to pay it. It's confusing for a little bit for me because I know I could pay it without and have more money come in. Mm-hmm. I pay it and be free with my money and more money comes in. But I got stuck in that judgment, really, actually, mm-hmm. of what it is they're doing. I see two mouths ready to go. Who wants to say something first?
Go ahead, you first. Yeah.
No, I agree. There's what rang in my mind is this woman named Brené Brown. She has TED Talks and books and whatever, and she talks about vulnerability and stuff. But one of the things that she said in one of her books was talked about scarcity and how we're kind of like in this mode of scarcity. We don't have enough, which drives people to do some ridiculous and even sometimes horrible things. And, you know, when I think about people who, you know, have, you know, lots of property and charging, you know, rents that are like way above what like the normal person could actually do, you know, like how much of that is out of this mindset of like, I need more,
right?
Like accumulating more. Mm-hmm. You know, you have a lot already, but for some reason it has settled in our minds and our DNA to think, okay, well, I need to get more and even more. Instead of, you know, realizing there's enough resources on this freaking planet.
Right.
You know.
To take care of everybody.
To take care of everyone, you know, and to take care of ourselves and, you know, being able to take care of our community.
You know, go ahead, Pam.
Well, I was just going to talk about, you know, when I became single again, I really felt like I couldn't survive. Mm-hmm. I didn't think I could do it. And all of a sudden, all these people started calling me and saying, you need any help? You need somebody to stack your wood? Do you need somebody to shovel your driveway? Do you need, I mean, and I wasn't asking, but they were calling me and saying, we know you're alone now. Do you need any help? And I think we all have friends like that, but maybe some of them are a little shy to call because they don't think that maybe we would say no, or that we would say, no, I really don't need any help, when actually we do. That was all I was going to say.
Well, that goes along with what were you going to say? Mm-hmm. That goes along with what I was thinking about in relation to this. Again, there's a conditioning going on, mm-hmm. and that conditioning keeps us thinking we have lack. That conditioning keeps us believing that we have to work really, really hard to get from point A to point B. It keeps us believing that we can't trust anybody. It keeps us separated, right. Basically, is the bottom line. So I have a feeling that that's not exactly the way we're wired to live.
Right.
And that in itself causes us a lot of pain and makes it really difficult to survive. If you want to talk to us about this, the number here is 530-265-9555. Please feel free to call in with your comments. I'll say it again, slower, 530-265-9555. Please feel free to call us. You can also catch us online right now if you want to hear it. This show is archived. My name is Sienna Gold. The show is called Down to Earth, and I have my perpetual guests here, my partners in crime, Rebecca and Pam, Pam Davis and Rebecca White. Thanks so much for being here. And we have the mystery engineer, lest we forget. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, if you think about how our society is conditioning us, mm-hmm. this is, I really feel we're starting to move away from mm-hmm. that whole thing because it doesn't work. We cannot live this way. Mm-hmm. Do we have a caller? Hold on a second. Hi, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, my name is Brian. Hello.
Hi.
My name is Brian. I live in Auburn.
Yes. Hi, Brian.
And I have a quick comment about just the natural greed of people. I heard a story. It's less than a minute story. A pastor of a church asked his congregation once, how many people, if you had $1 million, would feel wealthy? And only a couple hands went up. They said, how many people here would feel wealthy if they had $3 million? A few, several more hands went up. And he went up to $5 million. Nearly all the hands went up. And he said, how many people here, if you had $5 million, would need more money? And all the hands went up.
Wow. Yeah.
It's bizarre.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Thank you.
That's why I called you. Yeah.
Thank you for that story.
That was a good one.
Yeah. Thank you for that story.
I heard you loud and clear.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye. Do we have another caller? Okay. So that's what we're talking about. This is conditioning, folks. Mm-hmm. And there's something up here. I honestly feel that it's shifting because I don't see how it can stay the same. Mm-hmm. We can't do it. I was looking online at places in different parts of California, the places that have gone past that have the water and the beaches, and their rents are the same as ours. Their rents are the same, and or they're a little higher, but we are
close.
Yeah, very 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 close. And so how do you feel safe asking somebody for help when your community is gouging you for a place to live? How do you feel safe? Yeah.
Well, I think it's about feeling safe within yourself.
It doesn't work that way. But Hold on a second. Because I understand. I'm sorry to interrupt you, Pam.
That's okay.
I understand what it is that you're saying, and I think you're 100% right. The thing is that we're conditioned to not see that's right, right there is kind of our birthright, is that you start when you we are okay, we have enough, we have everything that we need, really, and we don't have, and by asking, you bring in what it is that you need. That okay. I have direct experience of that in my life all the time, but we're conditioned away from what it is that you're saying.
Right.
Which is the point that I'm trying to make.
Well, the thing is, we have to learn to trust ourselves. And that's where we find that level of trust. We say, well, I don't trust anybody else. Well, do you trust yourself? Do you trust yourself to have the potential of what we're talking about?
How do you do that?
Well, how I did it was I just realized there was a spiritual part of me that went beyond this physical, that went beyond this needing to survive. And if I learn to trust myself, that spiritual part, I believe, lives within me.
So you learned to trust that spiritual part of you.
I did.
What were you going to say?
So what I was going to say is similar to what Pam was saying, is that in speaking from experience, for what I'm going through right now, is really go doing that spiritual work in the sense of really exploring that dark side, you know, the shadow side of myself that's really engrossed in that fear, and just going straight into it. And I've learned that what I've learned and realized that when I go straight into it, into the feelings, and you've kind of just taught me to do this too, there's an opening that comes up. And I realize that you know what? I am okay.
Yes. Let's take this call. Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, hello.
Hi.
I can relate to what you're talking about. I've been in Nevada County for the last 7 years, and rent, it's disproportionate to the amount of money.
Mm-hmm.
At some point, if you make money, it's nice to be able to use the money to further your freedom.
Mm.
And it's disproportionate to the point where the electric bills, the increase in water rates, the increase because landlords have to put generators in, to feed their livestock. And this bombardment, even that's on them too, that they didn't even think was going to exist, I look at them as a group that was fairly responsible in the way that they proceeded with their properties, and now they're all in a pinch because of what's going on.
Right.
And it's so, and then I can't further my own family's freedom very easily because we're working so hard to pay all of these other people to provide these services. So I just disconnected from it. I said, this is not going to work for me. I'm going to take a leap of faith. I'm going to do something different, and I'm going to go find a new way. I'm going to be creative. I'm going to talk to people, and I'm going to, and I found that people understand, and I found places to live off the grid, and it's empowered my family. It's brought us closer together. We've developed amazingly close relationships with people. It's an adventure every day. It's a new journey. It's wonderful. And so I'm really glad that we disconnected from all of that nonsense, because it's intolerable, and it's such a bombardment on the emotional state that it makes it really hard to shed or to share happiness, because you're so bound up in this constant turmoil, and it gets really old. So that's what my family did, and it hasn't been easy. It's been a hard path in a lot of ways, but the outcome, after just kind of getting used to off-the-grid stuff and the adaptability and flexibility and different resources and ways that you need to be, it's great now. It's super wonderful. I love it, and that's my comment, you know, because I totally understand. Our little apartment was, electric bill was going $300-$500 a month. You know, rent went from $750 to $1,400. All of a sudden, it's $2,200 a month to have a 1,000 square foot unit in a barn out in the middle of nowhere. Like, you know, it's just too much.
It's crazy.
$2,200 a month.
Wow. Yeah,
so I totally agree with everything you're saying, and this is just my own perspective, and I think that your perspective is really uplifting and enlightening, and I appreciate it too. So,
aw, great. Thanks so much for the call. And that's a great story.
Good on you, man.
Yeah.
Just go for it. There's ways. There's people that understand. There's property owners. There's people that need the help of young people, you know, whatever the new agreement is, to caretake or help or, you know, and it's possible.
Yeah.
Totally possible.
It is. I love this. I love this call. Thank you so much for the call. Really appreciate
it. Thank you so much for inspiring me.
You take care.
You too.
Have a nice holiday season.
Yeah.
That's the deal. We got to take care of each other.
Yeah.
And landlords, you know, you got to take care of your community. You're squeezing the community out. And that's not okay. And listen to what's happening. People like this guy here are finding an alternative way to live, which I think is really awesome.
Yeah.
I think, did you have something to say?
I was just going to make a quick comment on what you said before.
Okay.
That things are shifting.
Yeah.
And he is a great example of how things are really shifting.
Well, here's, you reminded me that I was mid-sentence. I was in the middle of a thought when he called. You were both talking about your whole spiritual, you're gaining more spiritual trust and insight and that sort of thing. Okay, which is great, which I'm always kind of a little, I talk about whatever grows the plant, spiritual. I'm not a big spiritual person, but that's just semantics. Excuse me. The thing is that, like you said earlier, when you would, back in the day, Rebecca, say things to somebody like, you know, I'm going to trust that everything is going to be okay. Or somebody would say, you just trust and everything is going to be okay. And you're like, yeah, right. Good luck with that.
Mm-hmm.
We're conditioned to believe that's just a bunch of hooey.
Yeah.
Right.
And it feels like a bunch of hooey to me, you know, when you think about it. Oh, yeah, I'm just going to trust, and they're going to, so whatever it is, it's going to take care of me. I do feel the more that I live that we are, that there is something, I don't know what it is, but there's something that takes care, that makes sure you're okay. And at the end of the day, what keeps you from being able to partake of that is the fear that you experience when this societal imposition, I'll call it, of a lifestyle is part of who it is that you are. Mm-hmm. When you live the way that we are taught we have to live, when we follow these rules that we are taught to follow, or you're going to suffer one way or the next. I mean, little rules like going to work. You know what I mean? We can still work, mm-hmm. but do we have to? It's really hard the way that we have to punch in. You have to be in on time. Don't start with me on time. You got to be on time, and you've got to do it this way. And if you don't do it this way, you're going to get fired. And then if you get fired, you can't buy any food and you can't pay your rent. So they've got you. Mm. How do you really believe or tap into the idea that there is some kind of thing out there, something out there that's taking care of us all of us? How is that possible? I don't know how it's possible, but I know that it's true.
Yeah. I agree with that.
I
know this word gets a lot of people. We talked about taking leaps of faith. And I think that what we need to do is be who we are. And if we're working at a job just for the money and not for the peace or the comfort or happiness that it gives us on another level, then it just becomes just for the money. It does not come to that part where that spiritual trust that we were talking about can be, because you're so wound up in, I need this just for my physical survival. When I truly think that there is more to our physical survival. And again, I will say that for some reason, I'd be sitting at home thinking about, gee, I really need this. And somebody would call and they say, right. Do you need this? And I'm thinking, how did you know that? Mm. Right? So to me, there's got to be something more. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it is either, mm-hmm. but I would say that I feel that it's there.
Right.
Yeah.
By the way, my name is Sienna Gold. This show is called Down to Earth. It's on every third Monday of the month at 12:06 after the news. If you ever want to reach me, my number is 877-8008. 530-477-8008. You can go to kvmr.org and get more information about there's a website. My website's there. It's completely outdated, and that's just how it is. I haven't done anything to that website in about 200 years. But it gives you a little bit of an idea.
Before websites.
I know. Before there were websites, I had this website. Just to get a little idea what it is that I do and what it is that we're really actually talking about here. Mm-hmm. What else did I want to say? Yeah, go ahead.
I just wanted to.
Yeah.
So what Pam, you know, was talking about is the far as the trust and the whole spiritual thing we were talking about.
Yeah.
And I, it is hard when you're in it. And, you know, you're just kind of in the grind of things to even think, you know, about, like, especially if you're not really conditioned to think about the spiritual aspect of things, mm-hmm. which most of us, you know, growing up, yeah, that's most of us mm-hmm. not. But I also, here's just kind of like another perspective that I've got. Like, honestly, everything is working on this planet as it's supposed to, okay? And that I trust now that whatever it is, like you say, is growing the plants that is out there and doing the do, is going to eventually has led in my life has led me to this point, you know, and will lead all of us at various points, you know, to where we can actually be open, you know, to trusting, you know, our intuition, trusting. And it's just, not everybody's at that same point.
Well, here's the thing. Going along with what it is that you're saying. First of all, we don't know what the heck is going on on this planet. I have no idea what's happening here. I know that I've got this amazing intuition that I can feel your feelings, I can feel your pain, I can tell you what happened to you as a kid, and I work there with people. How in the world do I do that? I do not know. I don't know how anything really, really works. This whole experience is built on trust at the end of the day. Mm. And one thing that I did learn is that through quantum physics, now, I know that much of what humans have to say, I don't really pay attention to because nobody knows really what the heck is going on. But what I've learned about quantum physics is that there's nothing solid on this planet, which is something I talk to my clients about. There's nothing solid on the planet, and we don't really know what we're doing here. Mm-hmm. We don't know what's happening. We don't understand where we go when we die. Mm-hmm. We don't really understand a lot of why we have to follow the rules and regulations that we do. We're kind of moved around through life, and you do the best that you can. It's a challenging life. Yeah. What I am seeing and kind of getting to is that what I'm learning is that what I see one of the possible purposes of life is to find who it is that you are, to see who it is that you are. And all, it feels like a game to me. It always has felt like a game to me. All of what it is that we're doing seems to be kind of geared to pull you away from yourself, to get you back to yourself. And all this that we're talking about, at the end of the day, what I see is that whatever it is that grows the plants is who it is that we are. Yes. We're an aspect of that. That's ultimately where I see see us going back to, is to the conscious interaction, conscious partnership with whatever grows the plants. Ultimately, through your life, you're an unconscious partnership with it. And what I think has happened is that people, groups who want to control other groups, take advantage of that unconscious partnership and make it either they are the ones responsible for making it unconscious, or they play on the fact that we are unconsciously interacting with whatever grows those plants and feeding that lack of awareness and feeding that through fear. And the fear helps us to separate, and the separation helps us to be much more manageable and malleable at the end of the day. I feel that we're starting to be able to see that that system doesn't work and that does not feed us. That's not who it is that we are.
Well, do you think that those, because I was actually thinking about this a little bit earlier in a conversation, those who are in power are even conscious of that fact that there's this higher potential of, you know, of the things that grow the plants, you know.
I think they count on that.
Count on
that. I think they know that that's there, and they have the awareness of that and count on people not being aware of it.
And depending on
control.
See, here's the thing. Here's how I see things. I really feel that your feelings bring everything in. I feel that your feelings make every single thing happen, which mm-hmm. is why I work with people's feelings. Mm-hmm. And what I see is that a mechanism on this planet is that your feelings go out and bring experiences in. Mm. Okay? That's part of the mechanism of the planet. What I have a feeling about is that whatever it is that grows those plants possibly is what fulfills what your feelings are asking for. Mm-hmm. That helps to facilitate this mechanism on the planet is whatever grows those plants. Mm-hmm. So what I feel is happening is that those powers that be understand that system. Mm. And either through the ages have weaned humans off of that understanding and fed us a different way of looking at life, so that we are controllable. I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm just saying. I'm just putting that out there. This is conjecture. The way that if your feelings are making everything happen in your life, if you're afraid, if you have a lot of fear, that feeling goes out and brings fearful experiences into your life. And when you have fearful experiences, you go and look for help. And by and large, in my experience, people go look for help from the groups that have scared them in the first place. I'm not going to get specific.
Okay.
You understand what I'm talking about? Sort of. Well, I don't want to. We'll talk about it. Okay. If anybody wants to know what I'm talking about, give me a call. I feel that, well, let me put it this way. The powers that be, I feel, are running everything.
Okay,
what were you going to say?
I get you.
You understand?
Yeah.
Okay, they're running everything. They're running our government. They're running our religions. They're running our schools and our jobs and our money and our this and our that and everything. And I really feel that they understand that in order to keep us in check, we just have to keep us scared. And then that feeling goes out and comes in and brings experiences in. Now, you said something a little earlier about getting to know yourself or trusting yourself. What did you say, Pam?
Well, I think that we need, and I was just going to say some more of that, when we are feeling that we are doing what we are supposed to do in our lives, when we have reached that point that we don't feel like we're failing so that we have to go to others, but we feel strong with who we are, then we can begin to trust that what we're doing is okay.
Okay, so I get it.
Okay.
So here's the deal. In my world, you're not going to get there until you do what Rebecca has suggested, which is what I'm teaching, and that is allow yourself to be afraid. You are afraid. You are mistrustful. You are judgmental. You are angry. So what? That's part of your experience here on Earth. And when you allow it, I'm not saying accept it or love it or embrace it. I'm not talking about doing an inner child workshop. I'm not saying to forgive anything, because I don't think you're doing wrong.
Right.
I'm saying allow. I didn't even say accept.
Right.
When you allow yourself to feel what you feel, and that is I'm afraid and I don't like being afraid. That is, I'm a failure, and I don't want to be a failure, and I'm going to pretend I'm not a failure. All of those feelings, you are who you are. That's my whole thing. You are who you are. You feel what you feel.
Mm-hmm.
And when that sinks in, what you're suggesting happens automatically.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to work to make yourself like yourself or make yourself feel better about yourself, because right now you don't.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And we were talking about the whole idea of potential. If we are afraid of failing because we've been conditioned to believe that that's what's going to happen in our lives, we're never going to reach that potential because we are holding ourselves back.
So what did you just say? If we're afraid of failing, we're never going to reach the potential.
Right, because we're holding ourselves back. We're in that frame of mind because we've been conditioned to do this.
So what do you do about it?
You make yourself realize. This is, again, where you trust that part of yourself, which is who made the plants, that there is a way. You just need to look around to feel it, to find it. If you're feeling these feelings of fear, and we all have, I mean, when Daryl died, I was afraid that I wasn't ever going to make it. But as time went on and I realized as I was doing things, oh, I could do that. Oh, yeah, I can do that now. That fear became something that I allowed myself to feel, like you're saying. But then when I realized that there was more to it than that fear, I could then latch on to that feeling and let the fear... I don't have to be afraid anymore.
Okay. So,
see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Can I just say, I completely agree with what you're saying, Sienna. Like, I get it. Like, we don't have to make ourselves feel better.
Right.
It just automatically happens
okay.
when we go, when we're just in it, when we're just
right.
in it.
And that's the thing that I want to address with what you say, yeah. because you're hovering somewhere between the two, the
okay.
way that you're looking at things.
Because yeah.
a part of you wants to say, I'm not afraid anymore, and I'm going to feel better. This, I'm talking to Pam.
Right.
I'm going to feel better.
Right.
Which I understand you in that saying that. You also are saying, go into the fear that you have. You're saying both things.
Yes.
So the thing, just to fine tune, and of course, you know, this is how I look at things. This is my view. That you never, at the end of the day, have to make yourself do anything.
No.
You don't have to make yourself latch on to feeling better and forget about the pain. The pain doesn't go away. It gets integrated. Those are
right.
little kids in there that were treated in a certain way when you were growing up, and they get to be there. They're part of your life. They're part of your experience here. When you just do what you're saying, Pam, just let yourself feel the feelings.
Right.
That takes care of everything.
Mm-hmm. It does.
Yeah.
And what I was saying was that at some point, I realized that the fear I was feeling didn't have any more power over me. And I think you and I have talked about that. The emotions are there, whether it's fear or anger or grief or whatever you're feeling. It's at what point do you start saying to yourself, you don't have any power over me anymore?
But that's what I'm trying to say. It
yeah.
But, okay, so maybe I'm not understanding. Let's
okay.
hash this out. You said, at what point do you say to yourself, you don't have any power over me anymore, and then what? And then what do you do?
When relax.
Okay, see, you relax when you say you don't have any power over me.
Right.
And
otherwise, I take control, is what I'm saying, as far as the conditioning that I've been told.
Okay, so here's the thing.
Yeah.
You don't have to do all that.
You don't have to work naturally, is what I'm saying. It just happens with me. It's not something that I actually take the time and say, oh, I'm going to do this today.
But that's what it sounds like you're saying.
Oh, okay. No. It happens because at that point, I don't feel within me that fear is stronger anymore. You know, I've felt it, I've integrated it, I'm not afraid anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So basically what I'm saying at that point is that I don't feel that fear has control over what I think.
Is fear bad?
No, but it can create a block, in my opinion, to your potential. If we have something that we really, really want to do and we're afraid, then it will not allow us to go that extra step if we don't see it for what it is.
So there are a couple of things. And how much time do we have?
About 7.
Oh, 5 minutes. Oh, that's good.
Okay.
Okay. So let's take a look at both of these things. So
All right.
We started this show talking about the potential. Okay. And we were talking about how there are factions out there that are impairing us in order to be able to control us. That was part of our conversation today.
Yeah.
Now, the other part of the conversation had to do with not really understanding or knowing what the heck we're doing here. You know, what really is going on here. I wonder about the difficulty that we face. Is that something, is the difficulty that we face moving us because of the discomfort of it? Is that what moves us to explore that interaction, that partnership with whatever grows the plants? Is that part of the plan? Is that part of what this experience here is about?
I think
or,
so.
Yeah. So if that's so, then how mad are we at those factions for making life so hard for us?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what's really going on? I'm not sure really how to do that, how to look at that. I know from my experience with the people that I work with my clients, that I see people come in who have done a ton of work on themselves, who have explored and meditated and ayahuasca'd and classes and course in miracles for years and years and years, and they're still stuck or don't know where to go. They're still not fully entrenched, if you will, in the conscious partnership with whatever grows those plants. So they come in to see me, and I fine-tune people who've gone through a lot of self-exploration and exploration of all that is, if you will. And I have watched them change dramatically. I've watched their personalities, actually, who they really are, come out more and more, even after all of this work that we've done together. That they've done the work that we, yes, before me, exactly. With that in mind, and watching the dramatic shifts that I've seen in people, what's the deal with the controlling folks? Are they really the villains that we're painting?
So my perspective is that we all are kind of in the same boat. We either choose to act from that unconscious, from a disconnect from that which grows the plants and everything, or we're going to act from a conscious place. And my perspective is, of those who kind of like have the, you know, the control, are just kind of acting from, you know, they're also acting from fear, you know, will drive you to do some scarcity. Fear will drive you to do some crazy things. And that's why I was asking, like, do you think that they are clued in, you know?
Oh, I see.
Like, are they really clued in, or are they blind, you know, as well?
Right.
To what you're talking about, which I think is totally true.
Well, how are we doing? 2 minutes? Now, some people are saying that they're losing their grip, that these factions who've controlled us for eons are starting to be actually opposed in a way that is effectively, essentially, dismantling the power that they have over all of us. What I'm sensing, and I have thought of what it is that you're saying, actually a friend of mine said exactly what you're saying, that they're just as clueless and as much pain as the pain and cluelessness that they're inflicting, which I think is a rather interesting thing. I wonder if we'll all either start working together or find a new way to be in the world. Is this world about in its natural state, quote unquote, about just being really happy and peaceful? I hear people say, well, if you're happy and peaceful, you're going to get kind of bored because there's nothing to do. There's nothing to be upset about. Oh, how are we doing here? Okay. Anyway, what do you think about that? Either of you?
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, it is we collectively work through things, by also individually work through things.
Right.
And I think just sitting and going into the darkness will naturally begin to alleviate when we're actually facing that fear and going into the fear and not being like, no fear, go away. Like, we'll actually do the work.
Okay, so here's the deal. Hurry up. Oh, that's what I thought. Okay. Calling fear darkness, we'll talk about that another time, because
okay.
I don't see that. My name is Sienna Gold. We've got to go. And thank you so much for everything. I'll see you on the third Monday of January. Take care. Thanks, guys.